Hollywood is like a movie set. They build a beautiful set and then they knock it right down to build something new. And I feel like that's what's happening. I think the Niche LA community is really good to have. You have to understand change if you grew up here.
Hello, everyone. I'm Dustin Richardson from the Burbank International Film Festival. Today, Real Conversations continues with our next special guest, who's known as the godmother of old LA and the Sunset Strip, Allison Martino. Allison is a documentarian, television producer, and also a columnist for the Los Angeles Magazine. She is well known as the creator of the fantastic online community, Vintage Los Angeles, which documents the history of LA, including its physical transformation during the 20th century, and LA's place as the center of the entertainment industry.
Hi.
Hello.
Hello.
How are you today?
I'm good. Thanks for having me. This is fun.
Great. I'm really happy to have you. There is so much we can talk about, and I'd love to hear a little bit about as much as we can. So let's go ahead and start with Vintage Los Angeles, which has reached hundreds of thousands of followers. Well, your Facebook alone has 410,000 followers. It's absolutely incredible, and it documents so much fascinating history from your own research and your own life. Could you tell us a little bit about how Vintage Los Angeles began and what it has accomplished over the years?
It's funny because I never like to use the word fluke, but it kind of was a fluke because I started it in about 2010 and Facebook was new, you know, it was somewhat new. And I never heard of, you know, pages that you could dedicate to your favorite subject, or if you had a favorite movie, people made pages about it. So I thought, I had a couple groups, not pages, I think they were called groups back then, that were about the history of LA. And I would start with like mid-century modern LA, or let's do a page on Flippers roller disco and see how many people we can get. I'm thinking 10 people, you know, some of my friends from high school that you're just getting reacquainted with through Facebook. And I would never have expected 10 years later, 12 years later, to have, like you said, like 410,000. It's really not me that's doing it. It's that's how many people are interested in history. Okay. I am just the vehicle that, you know, I steer the ship, but I give you the subjects and the community comments on it and shares it and adds so much more context to a photograph. And it's been fascinating to see how much I've learned about LA through the followers, the communities, and, you know, I just call them VLAers, you know, they are interested in history. And I thought, God, I thought I'd have five friends on this. There's just people all over the world that, you know, you can see the behind your page, how many people are from different states and from different countries. And there's so many from the UK and so many from Australia. It's pretty remarkable. I thought maybe you have to be from LA or you have to live in LA to understand an old picture of Ship's Coffee Shop, or to learn about, I don't know, what parking meters look like back then or what cars look like. But it's that people are fascinated with pre-2000. Anything from the 21st century before, pre-cell phone, pre-computers, pre-Google, pre-information at your fingertips every second. And yet that's what we're providing, which is funny, is information at your fingertips at all times. But when you see people crossing the street in 1949, they're not looking down at their phone and they're not running to check their, you know, their text messages every second, which is what we do. And that's the world we're in. But it's interesting to learn that some of us lived that life before that. That was a long answer, but there's so many ways to explain what I personally get out of it. But I think there is a fascination with the world before 2000.
Yes, definitely. Yeah, you really showcase the physical transformation of it all and from all different decades. It is really amazing to see all that. How do you find the photos exactly? What's the research involved?
Well, I've always been a pretty good researcher, and I'm a little obsessed by it. Years ago, I produced a TV show called Mysteries and Scandals, which was about the dark side and the flip side of fame for E! In the 90s. And while I was compiling images for that show to help tell the story of, you know, Marilyn Monroe's life or James Dean's life, I had to dive into what LA looked like back then. When I started Vintage LA, it was really about really going farther back to the 20s, to the 30s, to the 40s, which I still love going back to. But I realized that it was people who lived LA 60s, 70s, and the 80s were responding more because I think it would hit them emotionally. you know, maybe one of them met their wife at one of the coffee shops, or somebody went to the school that I'm describing, or somebody had that car when they were growing up. And it was funny, as I've actually posted photos of like cars from the 70s or the 80s at an intersection, and there are people that recognize their cars in those pictures that 100% is them. And that's when you know you're reaching a lot of people, when people say, I'm in that picture. So I started going more towards leaning towards photos that people may have been, you know, around for that era. But I do have, like, you know, as you interviewed Lou Bracker, who's a good friend of mine, you know, who's in his 90s, can recall LA in the 30s and the 1940s. And so for him to contribute stories, not just knowing James Dean, but to describe what LA was like back then, it was so different. Again, we're getting such an education that you're not going to learn in a textbook, or, you know, or in schools by professors, or even in movies. You're getting it firsthand by the people who lived it. So it's rewarding.
Yes. Yeah, I had such a great time talking with Lou. Just like you said, it's amazing the detail he can recall about it all. And he knew so many people. I was telling him that, where it's like you were just someone not interested in actually that world, but just was completely surrounded by it just because of living there. It's amazing.
And his memory is so great. And so it's people like Lou Bracker. And then I've got 14-year-olds that are on there that are just obsessed with knowing what the 1930s looked like, fashion, cars, restaurants, speakeasies. I mean, it really goes on and on. And then there's a lot of LA that's changed. There's stuff that's still there. I mean, there is a lot there, but it's not as it was even when I was growing up. I don't recognize certain intersections I'm in sometimes that I haven't been. If I haven't been to Santa Monica in a couple of years, I might not recognize where I'm at. Buildings are going down really rapidly, more than ever. Development and real estate is just, it's hard to keep up with. And I feel that LA just kind of needs a balance. You know, there needs to be a balance of old architecture. And I understand they need new architecture, but not all of it needs to come down. And I live off Sunset Strip, always have. And there's a couple blocks that I'm worried about right now that are going to be down. I mean, we're talking entire blocks. It's not just losing one restaurant structure or one structure we really have always identified the strip with, but entire blocks. So that's when you start to go, we need to start speaking out too. And, you know, going to city council meetings and writing letters to city council and letting developers know that we're not so into all the new architecture, guys. You know, we can actually take an older building and repurpose it into something new without ripping everything down, because I feel like some of these buildings that they're building are not really meant to last.
Yeah, it is a shame to lose so much history and a full block. So I didn't know that. That's
yeah. Great. There's a block right now on Sunset Strip between Larrabee and San Vicente on the south side that has, you know, an old liquor store, an old hairdresser. I mean, there's a little cafe there. There's a restaurant. There's an Italian restaurant. There's a market. And to take all that down, everyone not only loses their jobs, but we lose the feel of community, the feel of neighborhood. Not ready for New York City on my block yet. You know, we were built on palm trees and some open land and greenery and water. And I feel we are building so far up now. We're going up, 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 up. Every single inch of every single property has to be built all the way out to. And you know, there's no circular driveways. Everything is underneath parking. And it's starting to confuse me of will we recognize anything at any point. But, you know, Hollywood or LA, you don't have to say your Hollywood, is like a movie set. It's, they build a beautiful set and then they knock it right down to build something new. And I feel like that's what's happening. I think the niche LA community is really good to have as far as feeling that you're being heard, or even if you don't win a battle, you have a community of people that understand how much you fought for it, how much you want it to stay the same. I'm sentimental. I'm emotional at things. I understand change. I grew up in LA. You have to understand change if you grew up here. But I also think we need the balance.
That makes sense. I agree with you. And you really are in many ways a protector of the Los Angeles area itself.
I'm not doing enough, but you know, everybody's doing their part. Everyone's trying their best.
Well, that's good. That's good. like when I was talking to Lou to bring that up again, one of the topics he talked about a lot was the Villa Capri, of course, which we no longer have. It's such a shame to think that something that iconic just doesn't exist.
Well, you know, for me, it's very personal. My father built the fireplace in there.
Really?
And, you know, there was two Villa Capris. And I think Dad built the one in the first Villa Capri, the one that we sort of think of when we think of the Villa Capri. But someone told me that the fireplace was saved and moved somewhere to Catalina Island.
Oh.
I am on the hunt to find that. I haven't been to Catalina in many years. I don't know the state of Catalina at this point, but if it's still keeping it old school, I might be able to find it because I have a picture of it somewhere. Oh, but yeah, wow. Before my dad became a singer, you know, he was down and out like anyone trying to make it in this business. And he lived in a little apartment around the corner. He would go in there and say, hey, you know, I'm broke and I don't have any food. I don't have any money for food, but I could build you a fireplace. He was a builder and he was a bricklayer. So he built a brick fireplace in there and he got to eat there. And then he became very friendly with the D'Amores. I'm sure he probably met Lou, if only my father was alive to introduce those two. After he, you know, became his dream and he was doing okay. He still very much went to the Villa Capri and frequented that place, like, you know, until we lost it.
That's amazing. Well, I hope you find it.
Well, what's interesting about the Villa Capri is that, you know, Patsy's daughter, Philomena, still runs their pizza joint at the farmer's market, Patsy's D'Amore Pizza. And that was actually the first pizza stand in Los Angeles. And it's still there today. And I love that piece of history. That's the history that I love learning about and connecting with those people. And Philomena and I were friends growing up, but we lost touch. And of course, through Facebook and this community of Vintage LA and somebody who's, you know, had their father's pizza joint for years, decades, we've become reacquainted, not just for the love of our dads and what we've been through, but the fact that we're both still, you know, she's running the pizza place, I'm doing Vintage LA. We're still trying to keep things the same.
That's amazing. One of my favorite examples of you protecting historic buildings in the area was when you achieved the removal of souvenir carts and kiosks blocking the view and way of the Grauman's Chinese Theater. Could you talk a little bit about that and any other examples of helping preserve famous buildings in the area?
So I guess that was about 6 years ago, 5 or 6 years ago. The one interesting thing also about Vintage LA is getting tipped off, call them the deep throats, that tell me things that are happening in LA that I wouldn't have known about. I was getting some pictures of the Chinese forecourt there with the kiosks over the historic signatures from, you know, the golden age of Hollywood, which is almost like a graveyard. It's sacred. And the kiosks were like, you know, right on Jerry Lewis's name or you know, it was just very scary to see how disregarded their names were to sell stuff. So I just put up a picture that someone had sent showing that this could really be very, very damaging to these historic signatures and handprints and footprints. And it really did go viral. And that was a Friday. And by Monday, all the kiosks were gone. I believe it was the outrage of the community on my page. Everything they felt about it was there. The rage was there. The concern was there. The disregard of Hollywood and the dichotomy of we're celebrating Hollywood, but you're destroying Hollywood, somehow ended up on the cover of the New York Times and Hollywood Reporter called me over the weekend. And it was a crusade by not going out there and trying to do a crusade. It was a post that just swept over the internet. And by Monday, I guess whoever was in charge of that forecourt cleaned them out. That was really early in the morning too. By the time the sun was up, they were gone. I was shocked. It's better now. They've done some things like bringing planters in that I don't think should be there. But the kiosks are gone. I mean, knock on my piano wood here. I hope it will continue to be clear and that forecourt will be appreciated by the community of LA, the tourists that come, the people that want to see their favorite movie stars, handprints. Let's preserve that, make sure that they do not get damaged.
A heart of the whole industry is that area right there.
No kidding. Yeah. I mean, talk about the pulse of old Hollywood. That's it. And there's new signatures in there too. I don't think they'd like it either. And the Chinese theater is, you know, probably the most glorious theater, one of the most glorious theaters in the world. Yes, it's the pulse of Hollywood. It's the Chinese theater. It's Hollywood and Vine. Of course, we lost the Hollywood Hotel many decades ago, but it's still a part of, it's the pulse of Hollywood. So I still call it Grauman's Chinese Theater, by the way. I just could not call it that. But hopefully, you know, the Chamber of Commerce will keep an eye on it. And if not, Vintage LA will be on your ass. It really is a group effort of getting everybody involved, signatures, people going to City Hall, people going to City Council meetings, getting their 2 minutes, speaking up. The Bullwinkle statue, the Bullwinkle and Rocky statue came back out of being off the streets for many years. I feel that our community of Vintage LA helped with that. Norm's Coffee Shop, which was going to be demolished. I lived across the street from it for a while, so I kept an eye on it at night. We got about, I don't know, 30,000 signatures or something for that. And it was landmarked, you know. And again, I don't take any credit for doing anything. I lose a lot of battles too. It's the awareness and getting it out there and being passionate and being able to converse how I feel about it to the community. I try not to preach too much unless I'm just so outraged, like the Four Court at the Chinese Theater. I really just tell the community, this is what you can do. This is how you can voice your opinion. Hey, if you want to stand in front of the bulldozers, I'm with you. You know, again, some you don't win and some you do win. But I really think that the greatest thing about saving any kind of architecture is being able to get online, because you will be able to see what's happening, pictures, where you can go. I mean, once you get the information, you've got to do it, but you can get it online. You can email online. I mean, it's so easy at your fingertips to just write to City Council. This is how I feel about this house coming down or why we should preserve this. And then sometimes, if you're lucky, they're read in front of City Council. They are documented. That's, again, that is a case-by-case situation. And we've lost some and we're still going forward. There's a house right now on Roxbury Drive that I'm just devastated over that we're losing, 1001 Roxbury, which is on a double lot, one of the most beautiful homes in LA, the classic old Hollywood architecture. Oh, it's being torn down. I went to several city council meetings about that. And if I couldn't be there or attend, I'd watch it online till 3. Sometimes they go to 3 o'clock in the morning and you watch it unfold and you get the information and you also get the answer of what's going to happen. You're right there as they decide it. It's like being in a courtroom. And when they say, no, we're not going to save it, or it can't be saved, and these are the reasons why, you feel so deflated and you feel, do I want to just keep doing this? And there's so many homes and buildings we're going to lose. But then there's like wonderful things that can happen, like the Rainbow Bar and Grill or the Whiskey Go-Go getting landmark status. So they can't do anything to it ever. Norms. Our last coffee shop in the West Hollywood area is landmark. They cannot do anything to it. So therefore, if Norm's ever wanted to go out of business, yes, it could be an Urban Outfitters or something, but the structure can't be torn down. I think right now, everybody's been very concerned about the Cinerama Dome. It's been closed for 2 years. That's shocking to me that it could be closed for that long. Cinerama Dome is so beloved. There's been a lot of real concerned posts about that I've seen. And we just heard that they are going to reopen. Not sure exactly who the company is, but we're getting the information as we're going. I'm not sure if the Cinerama Dome is landmarked. It should be. There are things like that. We need to landmark places as fast as possible. Restaurants like Dantana's, that's in an old house located right in the center of West Hollywood with all this new construction going on. And there it is with its, you know, original sign. When it was called something else, DeMonico's, I believe it was, it's still the same sign. It's just been, you know, different neon. And it was a house, which is why there's a fireplace in there and a second story upstairs. That should be landmarked. It has all of the qualifications to be landmarked. It's a long process, but we need to do it before it's too late. And I think we are really doing it. I think there's a great organization called Save Iconic Architecture. Everybody should follow on Instagram. They're amazing. Their passion is intense and it's really good to see. They were worried about the Standard Hotel recently and that's saved. Thank God. we just want to see, like, you know, the Chateau Marmont is so beautiful and it stands there. So it's classic LA architecture, and to think that there were hotels that looked like that in the neighborhood, like the Garden of Allah across the street, that was disregarded in the 50s. It's hard to imagine that. I know the modern era and the space age era was creeping up and architecture changed. Capitol Records was probably shocking to people when it was built, you know. But now we look at it and we look at the LAX airport and we see the theme building and we don't want to lose that. We never want to lose Capitol Records, which I don't think we ever will. You never know what'll happen to it though. Could be condos. It could, you don't know. That's the thing. But as long as you can landmark it, it's safe, at least to our eyes.
Yes. Wow. Well, yeah, Capitol Records, that's got to be landmarked eventually, I would hope.
You know, it's also the skyline. You know, when you look at the freeway, when you're coming off the freeway and you look over at Hollywood and you see the Capitol Records building, but now you're seeing all these other buildings sort of go around it. It's getting lost somewhere there. Even the Chinese Theater is completely lost between two massive buildings. The Cinerama Dome is actually a little lost. You know, you got to drive by it to see it. You're not going to see it from a distance. You have to be in front of it.
Well, that's all amazing. I absolutely love everything that's grown from this community. It really shows the power of people's voices and the media for something yes. like this. It's really great. Yeah. So cool that, like you said, just so many people had the same interest. They all came together. Did that happen pretty quickly or did it take a little while to grow?
It took a long time to grow. I think it took about 10 years. You know, I mean, I probably had, the Vintage LA probably had about 10,000 people in the first couple of months, which I thought was... Wow. Whoa. Now it's, you know, almost a 500,000. So it's sometimes I'll look and my page will tell me that 2 or 3 million people actually looked at the page in a day or so. So I don't even know if I even think the numbers when it says this many people like it, I don't even think that's accurate. I think a lot of people go to Facebook and they might not even engage. They just look and read. They may not even like, they might not even comment. So you really don't know how many people are seeing it. I think it's more than I believe it is, which is good. And it's also just a feel-good page. I mean, I'm not trying to go on there to say, look how bad LA is getting or look how great it was before. That's never my intention. I still live here. I'll always live here. I'll always live near the Strip. I don't know anything else. Of course, I've traveled, but I always come back. You know, I always am looking forward to coming back. I get very nervous about where the architecture is going, and it's unsettling sometimes to see every block just demolishing all these old, you know, Spanish apartments that we were sort of built on. That's very crushing to me to see these sort of glass boxes going up that have no architecture sense or no, like I said, they're not built to last. They won't look good in 20 years. They'll come down and they just don't build like they used to with the Spanish architecture and the tile and the Art Deco nuances. I mean, look at the Hollywood Sunset Tower. It's a work of art, you know, or you look at the old Bullocks Wilshire. It's a work of art. And they're not building anything like that anymore. They want to get it up so fast and occupy it so quickly. And, you know, what about a stunning lobby like the Hollywood Roosevelt, or bring back neon, you know? I mean, there's a lot of digital billboards and it's, you know, I think neon should make a comeback. I think there's many ways that it could look better than the digital flashing. I mean, I grew up on painted billboards on the Sunset Strip. You know, if you would go from, I don't know, Doheny down to La Brea, or especially Fairfax, you'd see, you know, the main strip obviously is Crescent Heights to Doheny. You're seeing what you saw one billboard after the next advertising, mostly music, mostly records. And then they would be painted over and they would promote the next record the next week or the 2 weeks after. And they were really stunning to look at because they were obviously painted and they were works of art as well. Now we have digital screens. They're not billboards. And that's what, you know, saying earlier is that they'll build a new hotel, no fancy architecture. We're talking just a wall. And I think the reason for that is they're going to get a lot of money to put a huge digital ad on the side. I understand Sunset Strip has been always been an advertising mecca, but it's not as creative as it once was. It's not as beautiful as it once was. It's now a lot of, it's starting to be not even Times Square. It's more of like, it's just too much flashing. And, you know, there's homes up there, up in the hills. And can you imagine that in your live your, you know, bedroom every night. I would love to see neon come back. I would love to see painted billboards come back. I don't know if they ever will, but they look better. And again, it's about balance. You know, you can have a digital billboard, but can we also have the painted billboards and the neon back and preserve what we've already had? We don't have much left, but we need to preserve. You know, there's just a little liquor store sign at the corner of Larrabee and Sunset, and it's been there since like 1928.
Wow.
And they're going to tear that whole block down and save, not the billboard, save the neon sign, you know, that's been there since 1928. If you can't find a place for it, put it in the lobby. You know, put it in the gift shop. I mean, put it somewhere. It's part of our history. It should not be discarded after hanging around for 100 years.
Yes. Yes, I know that stuff deserves to be in a museum, if not just hanging in a lobby, like you said.
Well, thank God we have the, talk about museums, that we have the Valley Relics Museum in the Valley. You should interview them. Go to his place. The most stunning museum I've ever been in regarding pop culture and artifacts from Los Angeles in the Valley. I mean, you know, Italy and Rome has the Sistine Chapel, but we've got the Valley Relics Museum because that's our history. And he's got every sign from every restaurant or any place that you can think of, Love's or Dairy Queen or the Palomino. He's got the original signs there and they're on. And I think you got to check for their information when you can check it out. I think they're open on Saturdays. It is so worth going to see. Even if you're not from LA, just to see neon again. There's Pioneer Chicken signs and you'll notice a lot of things. And go, my God, how did he get that? He's got the Ben Frank sign and it's just glorious. The 1933 group, thank God for them too, because, you know, they saved the Formosa. They bring back Tale of the Pup. They saved the Highland Park bowling alley. They have the Idle Hour in North Hollywood. And these were old places that probably would have been demolished, discarded, or changed drastically. They came back and put them back and they look better than they ever have. That's the flip side of Hollywood. That's the flip side. There are people that care.
Learn everything you need to know about the festival at burbankfilmfest.org.